along with the praise team, let me say good morning. And I'm sure we're glad that it's a lot cooler this morning, aren't we? Boy, a big change from yesterday to today. Boy, that was nice this morning just to get up, and it was like 57 at my house, and I was like, whoa, this is wonderful after all of those warm mornings that we've been having. Let's begin by opening up our Bibles to Psalm 119. For our opening scripture reading, Psalm 119, as we continue to read this great psalm with its focus on the importance of God's word to us, we find ourselves in verses 137 through 144. So I'll give you a moment to find your place there. Psalm 119, verses 137 to 144. We've been reading this for a few months, each opening scripture reading. Here again, the psalmist is expressing to God the value of God's word to his life. That's a constant all the way through Psalm 119. Listen to verses 137 to 144 as we read the word of God this morning. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. You have commanded your testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. My zeal has consumed me because my adversaries have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it, and I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Isn't that wonderful? It's just a good word of God this morning. God is absolutely righteous. His testimonies, his word is righteous forever, isn't it? And we ask you, Lord, to give us understanding that we may live rightly before the Lord, live the way God desires for us to live in the blessed life God has for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with a heart of gratitude and thanking you for the opportunity to gather, to worship you, to lift up our voices, to pray, to hear from your word. And today, in a celebrational way, thank you, Lord, for all the ministry that you've been doing within this body of Christ last year and plan to do this year. That's our focus in today's worship service, and we are grateful for your hand upon our life. We're thankful for how you guide and lead, and for your forgiveness for us, for your patience with us, for your goodness, Lord, as you are alive in our life, working in and through each one of us, Lord, for your glory and our good. So we thank you and praise you in the name of Christ. Amen. Like I said, it's going to be a little bit of different of a service today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come down that way because of the sharing and because of the different kind of things that go on that way. And hopefully we don't fall down, right? Yeah, right. There we go. And I'm going to bring a mic up here so when some people come up and share some things about ministry here at Living Word Fellowship, we can get all that worked out. And there we go. You know, we do this. We share with others as we look into God's word to encourage our thankful hearts for the ministry within this body of Christ. Here's one of the ministries, okay? So somebody brought this up to me. Somebody lost their keys in a parking lot today. So if these are yours, take a look at them. They got a phone thing. There we go. Look at, she owned up to it too. I was going to take them in the back. Okay. There you go. Yeah, that got brought up to me, you know, so I'm fulfilling my ministry work there. That kind of thing. So, yeah, no, we do this. We hear from others. We share about ministry really to encourage our thankful hearts for all the work that God is doing within this church family. So open your Bibles with me to Philippians. We'll walk through God's word and do some sharing along the way. We just kind of do this together. I want to focus on God's word as we look into the things and have the sharing that are going to go on today. Philippians, we're going to be looking at verses 21 through 30 to this morning as we do our ministry celebration. So grab your outline, open your Bibles, Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 30. Get your outline out, and if you'll look at the top of your outline with me, I'm going to read that as we begin today to start off with. Philippians, book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 21 through 30, and then grab your outline. It says this, on each year, on the second Sunday in September, we kick off our fall season and with a worship service that celebrates the work of God in and through our lives as His church. We gather together this Sunday to worship God with a heart of gratitude for the life that we have in Christ, amen with that, and God's goodness in growing us in our relationship with Him. That's what God does within the body of Christ church as we study His word, serve, all those kind of things. This growth happens through the ministry here at Living Word Fellowship Church. Whether it is through the study of God's word or serving or discipling or loving each other throughout the year, as we focus on God's ministry, we grow in our faith, mature in our relationship with God, and with others. So what we do today is we celebrate that, thanking God for the ministry going on in this church family by His grace. That's the service today. That's the focus today. That's what we're looking at. If you look at God's Word with me to just kind of frame this for us, as the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 1:21, let's just look at it with me. He says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." That's such a great statement, isn't it? In life, Christ? As a church, wouldn't we all agree with that? Life is Christ? Colossians 3:4, the Apostle Paul said, "Christ is our life." We all agree with that. We know that, but it's what we focus on. That's what it's about. Verse 20, he said in Philippians there, "According to my earnest expectations and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or death." Let me tell you, that's to live for Christ, right? That's life is Christ, isn't it? Our earnest expectation, our great hope, is that in this life, Christ won't be put to shame, whether we live or die. That's the focus. Romans 14, 7 and 8 sums it up well. For us as Christians, as Christ Church, where it says, "For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." And that's how we're going to start off as we think about this, that we're the Lord's. Our life is Christ, and we celebrate that he's at work in our lives, that he is our life. And as we acknowledge that truth in celebration, Pastor Craig is going to come up, and he's going to lead us in pastoral prayer. And we're going to kick it off with that. So,
with this ministry day in mind, I thought just a little background on what the church is. And when Jesus was describing himself, in John 3, he calls himself the bridegroom. Now think about this, the bridegroom. And you got to remember the traditions of that day. If I'm going to ask Jody to marry me, we have a celebration, and we have a big party, that's not a time to fast. That's a time to party. But after the party, I'm gone. I'm not with her again. And her job as a faithful bride-to-be is to be ready for me whenever I come. If her bags aren't packed, if she's not ready, if she doesn't have that little thing in the lamp in the window, marriage is off. Means I really don't want to marry you after all. You're out. When the day comes, it's announced. Now, I would imagine that they can still write letters, and she knows kind of what's going on in his life. And so she kind of is ready. Oh, yeah, okay, he's getting the house ready. He's about ready to come. Da, 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 da. This is our letter. This is our letter from God to us. And guess what he calls later on in Mark. He calls us the bride, the church. The church is his bride. This church is the bride. Now, the question is, are we faithful? When he comes back, will this church just be, like he said for a lot of them, "I'm going to remove your lampstand because you haven't honored my word. You haven't been faithful to my truth. You've made it about you. You've made it about yourself. And so the lampstand has been removed, and I'm not coming back for you." But many in that day, it says, will say, "But Lord, Lord, we did this, we did that." He says, "I never knew you. The whole reason for my letter was to get to know you, and you get to know me. I know you. I want you to know me. I want us to have a relationship." And so everything about these ministries isn't about exalting people. Never mind, I'm not going to share what I was just going to share. That would not be funny. But it's not about people. And sometimes we make it about people. And so one of the questions that we have for always for this Living Word Fellowship, are we faithful? Are we really stewards of the gifts? He says he's given every one of you a gift to serve and to be used in this body. So are we here to be served, or are we here to serve? And are we here because we believe that God has really gifted us to spread his gospel? So many churches, I mean, we were talking about it in the parenting class. I mean, people will say, Pastor, could you come over? My neighbor needs to hear the Lord. Really? The pastor, that's not what he's supposed to be doing. He might do that in his personal life, but guess what? The pastor is to be equipping you to share the gospel. We get it backwards, don't we? But we pay him to do that. Oh. That's why our pastor is overcome with a lot of duties he shouldn't be doing, because sometimes we see this wrong. And we don't see ourselves as the workers, not the pastors. I'm not set aside, so I'm a worker, all right? So with that in mind, the bridegroom's coming back. When do you think he's coming? Are you ready if he comes tomorrow? Do you think Living Word Fellowship is? I think we need to ask ourselves this every year. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you, our sovereign God, our creator, the creator of all. Thank you for sending your son to become our savior and to become our bridegroom. We want to acknowledge and confess our weaknesses in being faithful to your ways, to your truth, and the life you have really prepared for us to be faithful to follow. We pray for your will to be fulfilled in this local body, Living Word Fellowship, as we seek to be in honor and submission to your word. May we be fruitful and faithful to reach out to the lost with an uncompromising gospel, and any compromises to your word and your way. Help each of us to come to a knowledge of how to serve in this church with the gifts you have given each one of us. Convict us to serve and not look to be served. We pray for the Holy Spirit's conviction to remove our compromises and excuses in such a way that we would leave them behind and replace them with a renewed focus on our Lord Jesus alone. We ask for the God of all comfort to bring special comfort to those who are hurting, that they may persevere with joy and peace through the trials of this life. We pray for anyone who is lost and doesn't know you, that today would be the day of salvation. We pray for your blessing on this church and your church in this world to finish well until your return. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Craig. So if we think about that as we're looking at Philippians here, you know, Craig encouraged us, you know, through the pastoral prayer that we would examine our lives if we're living for Christ as his bride. And, you know, I want to be thankful and celebrate that in the ways that God is doing in my life, I am. And recognize that when I fall short, when I'm not, God is there as a gracious bridegroom, right? Guiding and leading us in changing our lives to grow. So look with me as we continue on here in Philippians 1, 22 through 26. Look with me here, we see the joy of ministry. So we see to live as Christ. Pastor Craig took my outline. No, got it. Brothers in the Lord, that's okay. We could always do that all the time. So look at with me at verses 21 through 26. Let me read them all here. Here's the joy of ministry. So Paul says, to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. But listen to what he says. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose, but I'm hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart to be with Christ, for that's very much better, yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you. Again, you hear what he says. You heard it. The joy of ministry, fruitful labor. That's the joy of ministry, that God bears fruit in the labor of that we serve and we disciple and we give and all of the things that become the ministry of the church. It's fruitful labor. God is producing something of it. It says the progress of us, the progress of you, the progress of others. The gospel is being faithfully proclaimed. Colossians 1, 5, and 6 says, the good works which God prepared for us to walk in. Ephesians 2, 10, ministry. That's what he's talking about. He said, if I'm going to remain on, I'm going to remain on the flesh, I'm going to do ministry. Because that's what God has for every believer in Christ, is ministry. Something that he has kept you here for, that you're still here for, that he hasn't taken you home for. It's fruitful labor. It's the work of the ministry that Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 talks about. It's our life. It's the joy of ministry. It's growing faith, maturing, building up each other. It's salvation and sanctification. It's God as he builds his church. We've talked about this in many, many different passages. It never changes. There's not a different place in the Bible where it talks about that ministry is something else. Serving, supporting, attending ministry here in our church family is fruitful labor that brings progress in our walk with Christ. And we celebrate. Because that's going on. It happens in your life, mine, within the church. And with that joy of ministry on our heart, that's what we're talking about today. Krista is going to come up here and share with this year's Awana Club ministry.
Hello. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Krista Rollins, and I have a clipboard, so I'm very official here. See this? So I have the privilege of being the Awana director this year. Richard is put his house on the market, so I guess we have to fill in this position, which we just wanted him to stay. He's so good at it. But so I went to the conference, the Awana conference this past year, and that's when God just kind of laid it on my heart. This is what I'm supposed to do this year anyway. But I am still teaching my TNT class because I love it. So, I was thinking about how long we've had Awana going on here, and I think we figured out it was 9 years here. 11? I was thinking like 4 or 5, and then, you know, you start realizing how much time is going by. But yeah, Cameron started Puggles, and now he's in sixth grade, TNT. So yeah, it's just amazing. So we're just so thankful we have this material. It's fantastic, this Awana material. Just some facts about Awana. It reaches 3 million kids all over the world with the gospel of Christ. It's pretty awesome. It's in more than 30,000 churches and 100 countries with 400,000 volunteers. So that's some of us. So Awana alumni, they say, I don't know, but these are statistics. They are real. Awana alumni are 3.6 times likely to read their Bible several times a week. They are nearly 70% witnessing to friends once a month. They are 92% still attending church. So those are great statistics. It seems incredible, really, but they say it's true. The Awana program began in the 1950s. Two pastors were looking at kids lined up at the movie theater, and they were thinking, you know, it'd be really great if we could get kids that excited about, you know, learning the Bible and things of God. And so they came up with this, and God's been blessing it and growing it ever since. So just some things I learned about it. The Awana name originates from 2 Timothy 2:15. Approved workmen are not ashamed. So the verse in its entirety is, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. So we have the privilege of teaching teaching God's word to the kids, sometimes watching them embrace, salvation, like God's free gift of salvation. It's incredible when they pray that prayer and just being part of their lives that way. It's just very exciting. So we have a registration table set out outside. I don't know if you have seen it, but it will be out there after church, and we would like to encourage you to sign up your children and get them registered today if possible, and if not, Wednesday, come a little bit early. We start this Wednesday, the 11th. I I've thought about this all last year when I'm watching kids say their verses and I'm sitting in my chair and they're in line and they keep coming and they keep saying verses. You know, our class went through 30 verses. They learned 30 verses last year. And they did sections, and some of them even did like extra credit. We had an incredible year. They learned so much, and I learned so much. And I thought how neat it would be if I could just put on the screen their faces saying their verses. It's the cutest thing in the whole entire world. So, but what I thought maybe I would do is calling all Awana clubbers to come up and just kind of stand up here and just show us who you are. I'm sorry. They're like, but can all the kids that are going to be in Awana this year just come up really quick just because you guys are so the most awesome people in the room and so cute. And we just want to see you guys. Yay. Now, who would not want to hang out with these people? This makes my Wednesday night every night. This is what I do. So we have a great time, don't we, guys? Yeah, we do. So thanks for coming up. Now, who's in Sparks this year? Raise your hand. Sparks? Who's going to be in Cubbies? Cubbies this year. Anybody in Cubbies? No Cubbies up here? They stayed with Mom and Dad. They're like, I'm not going up there. Who's going to be TNT? Awesome. All right, you guys can go sit back down. Thanks. Funnest people on the planet right here. So I just wanted to thank the 30 people, I mean, that it takes to do Awana every Wednesday night. This is a big, you know, commitment to be there every Wednesday. We have nursery teachers, game leaders, you know, snacks, store, secretary, our church office. Ruth does so much. She is just amazing. So we're looking forward to having a great year, and I think that's about it. One thing I did want to do is encourage you guys to, it's great that our church family, you know, is bringing our kids that we love already. I would like to encourage everybody to reach out to your neighbors and to families that you know that maybe they're really not into going to church. That's just not what's going on there. But maybe their kids would love to come, and or maybe you know somebody in your family, their families struggling, and you know that would be a blessing to the kids. Last year, and I don't know who was here when I read this, I got a text from a woman who brought her grandchildren, and they have been having a lot of trials in their family, and her grandson came home that night and just cried and said, he felt so welcomed and loved, you know. And they ended up moving to Visalia, but we still have a connection with them. And, you know, that's why we're here. That's why we're here. So, and we're also here to love our kids too, but we're here to love any kids, you know, that are out there that we can bring in. So, anyway, that's all, folks.
You know, sometimes when we talk about celebrate or joy, the joy of ministry, you know, and the fruitful labor and the progress and that kind of thing, just the love of Christ, we sang about it a few times today, just in some of the songs, to be shown to someone, just that true humility, that true Christ-like love, to be shown, especially to a little one, truly is the joy that we have and get from living for the Lord. As we continue on and just look at our outline here, if you turn your outline over, the Apostle Paul says, life is Christ, and we looked at that, and he says, and then he talks about the joy of ministry, be fruitful labor. He says, and I will come again. Look at verse 27, what he says. He says this, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Pretty good. This is one of the great passages, verses in the Bible. But he says this, he says, only conduct yourselves. He says, I'm going to be coming again. There's the joy of ministry, fruitful labor, your progress, all that kind of stuff, to live as Christ. He says, I'm going to come again, but only do this, conduct yourselves. That word in the Greek is a very interesting word. Greek term here, it means to conduct yourselves as a citizen. And so what God is talking about in this word, he says, we're citizens of heaven, right? Philippians 3:20 says that. That's where our citizenship is. Yes, we belong to America. Yes, we're citizens of Tulare County, all that kind of stuff. But every believer, every Christian on the planet, their citizenship is in heaven. We are here in the earthly places that we are, but this is where we belong, in eternity in heaven. That's where our citizenship was placed in our salvation. So that's what we're representing. Conduct yourselves as a citizen of heaven is what he's talking about. He's saying, as citizens of heaven, conduct, live a life worthy of the gospel. Ephesians 4:1 says, the apostle wrote, live in a manner worthy of your calling. Colossians 1:10 says, live in a manner worthy of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says, live in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own glory and kingdom. That's it. That's what we're talking about. That's what he's encouraging in him. Then we get to conduct ourselves as citizens of heaven, living in a manner worthy that represents the true gospel, the saving grace, the love of God, the forgiveness of sin, the work of Christ, all that the gospel is, that it represents that in our life, the way we live. Listen, we belong to the kingdom of God. That's the point of celebration, isn't it? That's really the main point of celebration. Our citizenship is in heaven eternally. That's a point of celebration. Our goal is to live worthy of the goodness of Jesus Christ and the good news of him that placed us there. That's pretty simple, and that's all the Apostle Paul is communicating. We're conduct ourselves in that manner. We celebrate the ministry here because that's its focus, and it's happening. It's truly happening here. That's what's going on within the body of Christ. Ups, downs, all the different kind of things, but that's what a church is about, and that's what's happening. God is at work in our lives. We're learning how to conduct ourselves, how to live in a manner worthy of the good news, of the gospel, of the Lord, of the kingdom that we belong to. And he says this, look at what he says in verse 27. Here's the first thing that we need to be doing or whatever he, in that kind of thing, is in our conduct. He says, so whether I come or see you or remain absent, I hear of you that you are standing firm. We're first to be standing firm. Now get this. This is like a soldier on duty, standing firm, not distracted by things of life, not distracted, a soldier standing firm on duty. Philippians 4:1 says, standing firm in the Lord. Colossians 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, standing firm in your faith. Galatians 5:1 says, standing firm in your freedom in Christ, not to serve the flesh anymore. And 1 Peter 5:12 says, standing firm in the true grace of God found in the truth of God's word. And that's what he's talking about. So we're going to be standing firm in that. That's how we're conducting ourselves worthy of the good news of Christ or the saving grace of Christ. Or the gospel is what he's talking about. But look at verse 27 again. Look what he says. In one spirit, in one mind. That's the idea of unity. That's the idea of sharing in the things that we're standing firm in. That's the unity that he's talking about. In one spirit, in one mind. This is not the Holy Spirit. This is our spirit. This is in our new life. With one mind. Being unified, sharing in what we stand firm in, standing firm in the Lord, in our faith, in the truth of God's word, sharing in that unity. Psalm 133:1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. Jeremiah 32:39 says that in our salvation, God gave us one heart and one way that we may fear him always for our own good. So if we're thinking about this, finishing up what Jeremiah 32:39 says, that in our salvation, God gave us one heart and one way that we may fear him always for our own good and for the good of our children. So I want you to think about that. Standing firm in unity, fearing God, is good for our children. And that's what God's doing in it. That's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating. This is the work of God. Man doesn't do this. Man doesn't get the unity. Man doesn't get us to stand firm in the things of the Lord. Only the Spirit of God, only God and his truth, his word, his life, does this in our life, right? To where we're life is Christ, and there's the joy of serving and doing all the things to where we're conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel as citizens of heaven, all those kind of things, standing firm in unity. This is the work of God. This is what he does. This is what we celebrate. Because we wouldn't do it on our own. Man doesn't do this. God does this. It's the unity that we share from. Listen to Philippians 2, verse 2 through 5. Paul writes, "Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others, having this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." It's humility. That's the unity. It's in the humility that we have that God is at work in our life, that God is doing this in our life. With that unity, that oneness in mind, we're going to hear from a couple. I'm not sure if we're going to hear from one of them, but because Bobby was going to share from the Women's Council. But Carol, were you going to share? So Carol, you come on up, and we'll see how that goes.
Good morning. It's good to see all you here. I just always have such hope when I come, and we gather together as believers. So Bobby's going to share about the sisters meeting, so I'm going to let Krista do that.
Thank you. Okay.
I'll share some more. Okay, so we are having our sisters meeting. We have it every other year now. So the men have theirs, so it's a whole year apart for the men and women to go. We have been having the sisters meeting for how long?
Don't ask me.
Why do I care about numbers
years?
Today? It's been a long time. Yeah. 2 decades?
We're getting old.
Yeah. I was just young when we had that. Yeah. Now I'm a grandma. Okay, so we actually call our women's retreat, most churches call it a women's retreat, but we call it a sisters meeting because we kind of wanted it more of a family
bonding
time for sisters. And we actually modeled it after Ken's mom and her sisters because they have a large family and they're all so very different. Their personalities, so very different, you know, as in a family, it is that way. And they would have a sisters meeting every year, and they just made it a priority to get together, spend time together, talk with each other, and take a break out of, you know, everything to do that, to reconnect. And so we, that's why we call it a sisters meeting. And we, you know, I personally saw what that did for the rest of the family. It brought a unity to the rest of the family because they were connected, and so we kind of knew what everybody had going on, and it was always in a positive light, and they were not gossips, and they were not people who, you know, oh, well, you know, who's doing this? You know, what happened to them?
Okay, your time's almost up.
They're not like that.
Your time's
but,
almost up.
Okay, good. Sorry. So anyway, but I just love the story of their whole deal. So anyway, so we, you know, are doing it after that. We have teaching, we have sharing, we have, you know, a lot of aspects of it. It's a whole weekend, so it's kind of a big commitment, but it's always a great time, and it's coming right up.
Yay!
Thank you.
Yeah. I haven't talked about the Women's Council yet.
Do you want to talk about the Women's Council?
Thank you. So many people came into the restroom to rescue me. So I was fine. I just have a really bad allergy and I cough. And so I was in a hurry to get out before I started coughing horribly and tripped over my purse. So I've done the little test, no stroke, I'm good. So I love my sisters who step in. You know, that is what I just wanted to share a little bit about this morning, was just our Women's Council and how God has put together us as sisters in Christ here in this body. And our Women's Council consists of, and I left my notes at my purse, but it consists of six women: Carol, myself, Krista, Vicki Reinsberger, Gina Day, back in the back, and Jody Bowser. And we just encourage and coordinate what goes on with the women here at Living Word Fellowship. And so they've shared with you, we coordinate Bible study. Did you share about the sisters' meeting?
Oh, yes, I shared.
Okay.
A lot.
And the spiritual mothering, you know, that's coming up. The second one, we had the first one this week. I talked to Jody. She said it was fabulous. There were 30 kids there. And she said there were five moms who weren't there with their kids. So imagine it's going to be 60 kids. Sorry, Linda. Next month. But we have one coming up this Thursday at my home, and so we'd love to have you. But if you, you know, one of the passages in Hebrews 3:13 tells us that we're to encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today. And why are we to do that? So that not one of us is hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. If we're not encouraging one another as women, we are going to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin in our thinking. And that's going to be the beauty of the study that we're doing in spiritual mothering, is taking those thoughts captive and encouraging one another. So if you have an idea that would encourage other women, talk to one of the women on the council.
Do you want to talk about the Bible study on Tuesday mornings?
Bible study on Tuesday morning is Hebrews this year. We are so excited about that. And I just love, there are four teachers, Carol, myself, Christy Mabs, and Vicki Reinsberger, and we each take turns teaching. And this is a true labor of love, I will tell you, because we write our own study, and Pastor Ken reviews everything, because as our pastor, he's accountable, he and the elders are accountable for what's taught within our body here at Living Word Fellowship. So he reviews our notes, makes sure we're on the right page with that. And so this year we are so excited. It will start on September 17th in the room across the way. Questions for the first meeting are on the back table. So grab those, be ready for great discussion. We'll study half of Hebrews this year, second half next year.
I just have to say, Hebrews gives us such hope in the perfect Christ. And I know in my own daily life, I forget who he really is. And Hebrews is really gonna help us to get focused on letting him be that Lord of our lives each and every day. I also wanted to talk about the spiritual mothering classes a little bit, but first I have to say, that my son-in-law Josh is living proof of the statistics of Awana. Richard Beebe would pick him up every single Wednesday and bring him. And now Josh really wants Dodge to be a part of it because of what he learned. And I'm just so excited for the carrying on of the torch of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So on our spiritual mothering, it's probably been about 6 years ago that we were led to try and find a way to help nurture each of us in our spiritual walk. Spiritual mothering isn't about a mothering class. It's about, well, it is a mothering, but it's spiritual mothering, not nurturing children, okay? It's nurturing our spiritual lives. So the book that we have this year is Loving God with All Your Mind. We also have this questionnaire booklet also on the back table for anybody who's interested. But we started this with the theme of Titus 2, 3 through 5, where it, I'm just going to paraphrase just a little bit here. Older women encourage the young women to love their husbands, love their children, be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. We need to be here for each other, to encourage, to help, and uphold. And the neat thing about this book this year, Loving God with All Your Mind, she's really going to help us to focus on how we can take every thought captive and let Christ reign in our thoughts. We have around 10,000 thoughts a day. How many are being directed to glorify God? And how many of them are glorifying self? So I really need help. I need accountability and encouragement. And so that's what the class is for. So the next one for this month is Thursday night at Bobby's house from 6:30 to 8. We don't have child care, though, on the evening one. But let me know if you're interested. And I do have extra textbooks, too, also. But these books are on the back table on the sign-up sheet. So I'd love to see you Thursday night. I think I covered everything. Yep, okay. Thank you.
So they are an example of one spirit, one mind, that Women's Council and all the ministry that's going on with all of that, been encouragement to us all. Let's kind of continue along here as we look at what the Apostle Paul is saying. Let me just read it from verse 21 following here, and we'll pick up the next thing. He said, For to me to live is Christ, and die is gain. But if I'm to live on in the flesh, I mean fruitful labor for me, and I don't know which to choose. But I'm hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Verse 27, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear that you are standing firm. We looked at that in one spirit with one mind. Looked at that, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. Striving together. Interesting Greek term again. It's like a team. And since football's starting here today, the NFL's going, I don't know if anybody has their phone on checking the score or not, but the Lord knows all things, so I'll just leave it up to that. But anyway, just in that, striving together like a team. Let's take football. 11 offensive players striving together, 11 defensive players striving together, special teams striving together. Not alarmed by the opponent. Not alarmed that it's the Patriots and it's Tom Brady or however you want to look at that. Not alarmed by that, just the defense and the offense, the special team striving together, all 53 players striving together for the common good or a goal. That's what he's talking about. That's who we are. That's what God is doing in our life. We're a team. This isn't about the best players and these guys carry. This is about us. It's always been about the body of Christ. It's always been about the church family. It's not about individual people. It's about us. The body of Christ, church family, and we're a team, and we're striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's a common good. We don't get all alarmed about the opponent to the truth of Christ or to whatever that be in opposition to us. We're just working together, striving together as a team with a team goal for the faith of the gospel. That's trust in Christ, walk in Christ. We celebrate that. That's our focus. And that's what Paul is talking about. That's what, in ministry celebration, we're so thankful that we see and we understand and we know in our heart and are growing in this, that we see that it's standing firm in the truth of God in the Lord, sharing one mind, one heart in unity, striving together for the truth of Christ, for the true way to walk in Christ. So with that in mind, we have one more sharing that we're going to do today. Dwayne Hilty is going to come and share with us about God at work in his life. And he's going to tell us about how God's been leading him and some things that he wants to share with you as an elder.
Thank you, brother. First of all, I'd like to really thank the church body for allowing me to be an elder here for so long.
Not sure when I started, and when I did start, it was like an apprenticeship for a couple years. Interesting time back then. It was at least 15 years ago, I think. There were some business decisions that I was going to go through, and they were kind of tough. So I met with the elders twice a month, and we talked about those things on my way to becoming an elder. It's interesting how I had 8 scenarios on how that business decision would end up. It ended up being none of the 8, and God took care of it. And you know, this went on for over a year, and it's just amazing when you reflect back. And God taking care of it, that wasn't anything at all that I thought could happen, but it did. I want you to know I have many shortfalls, and I made many mistakes. We all have, but I sure have. And I sure appreciate the grace that's been evident with the elders and the body. There's a lot of grace here, and sometimes you just need to look at that and remember that. So I'm stepping down as an elder. This transition started over 3 months ago. It was my choice to step down. The elder position involved many different evaluations and obligations on my plate. It's been considered. By no means am I being forced out. Don't go there, because that's not happening. Carol and I are excited about what's happening here at Living Word, and we look forward to serving in different capacities of ministry than we have been. And it's so neat to see a lot of new faces here. It's just amazing. You read the prayer request and you don't know the names, and it's just neat what's happening here, and we're so happy about that. Our family so appreciates kind of growing up here in Living Word. I had 4 daughters, and each one of those daughters were mentored by some lady here at church sometime in their life, and it was just neat. You know, you get a different perspective than your mom, and these ladies would just step up with my daughters, and now Gina's probably doing that with young kids too, but it was just really neat that that happened. We're so thankful, as Carol said, about the staff here, and it's just really neat. And it has been a pleasure working with the elders. It's like there's a genuine concern each of the elders have for each other. It's for real. I mean, as a group, we really get along really well, and they also have that concern for you in the body. And it's just genuine, and we all really care for each other. I'm so thankful for the leadership and the council of the elders, and the future elders that are going to be here. There's some holes that need to be filled, and we're just encouraged by young men stepping up. We're so thankful for Scott Mabbs and him joining the elders. It's so rewarding to see the presence of God here, and it's just really kind of neat the way that started. Now, I'm as old as dirt, and I asked the elders if I could share a little bit about how this church was formed. Sometimes your mind's going one way, but maybe you're going the other. So some of this might not even be all true. I was raised in the Brethren Church that's north of Plainview. Church business was done completely different than church business here. It was through a council meeting, and we really didn't even have membership. So if you just came to church, you could go to the council meeting. Well, when I was young, I couldn't go to the council meeting, so I got to go outside. And it's kind of funny, it wasn't supervised. So all of us kids would go outside and we'd be playing while the parents would be meeting. Council meeting was after church, you had a potluck. And Marcus Hoyer's dad was really good at throwing olives. So the olives were there from the church, you know, and you weren't supposed to pick them. Orrin Collins, he was really strict about that, but he'd be in the council meeting. So we'd grab a bunch of olives and it would be like paintball with olive, you know? And I had a couple targets. Deborah Weldon was one. Okay, Cheryl Clifton was one. You'd throw an olive at Cheryl, and she would just roll her eyes like, are you guys ever going to grow up? Some things don't change, do they? At a council meeting, we had a subject came up, and the next council meeting was going to be Super Bowl Sunday. Well, of course, we couldn't have council meeting on Super Bowl Sunday, so that was discussed, and we were going to have it. And Orlando Haney stood up and said, listen, you guys know what you're talking about. You're talking about changing a very important church meeting for a sporting event. Somebody from the other side of the room just yelled, get over it, Orlando. And I don't think we had a meeting on Super Bowl Sunday. The Brethren denomination had drifted away from the Word of God as the ultimate authority. And it was kind of sad in a way. To put it simply, our local church could do anything we wanted to, And to worship, it was very similar to what we do now. The Brethren Church really didn't care about it, you know? And then the crowds were big. The pastor was pretty dynamic. So I'll just share Craig and Jody's first visit. It's like they came. Craig looked a lot different than he does now, and he acted a lot different. I think everybody at the church started praying for Craig the first time they saw him. I know I did every week. Craig kept coming, and it was neat to see Craig's life changed, and he could tell you a little bit about that, but he became very devoted and became in leadership, and it was neat. The football coaches, Craig lived in Duke or Terrabella. He taught at Lindsay High School, and he was a football coach. Well, as the time rolled on, all these football coaches started coming to church. They'd bring their families, and it was just like, wow, how does this happen? So the church got so full, we had to remodel it, and we remodeled it, and it still got full. And it was really exciting times. So the church was kind of doing what it wanted to, but the Brethren denomination was still involved somewhat. So there became events that started Living Word Fellowship, what we are now. So that was just kind of interesting, and I'll just share a couple things. The owner of All Creatures Pet Center, that's still there now, his name was Dick Merrill. He did not grow up in a church. He had nothing to do with church. And the pastor kind of questioned Dick and told Dick, well, why don't you start reading in the Bible everything that's not right, and you bring it to me, and we'll talk about it. So Dick had never really spent much time in the Bible. Dick, a very intelligent man, started doing that. And it's interesting to see his life change, and he became a very vital leader in the church at that time. So when Living Word started, we met at Dick Merrill's house as the planning, and we made the constitution. There would be 15 to 20 people, and you'd go and you'd work on the constitution, and we did all this. So we had an exit date kind of that we were going to go on. So another one that you know a little bit, Greg Quakenbush, same thing. He was a large animal vet, moved into the community, grew up in the Brethren Church, but he could care less about church. But he started meeting with Dick, and then the pastor started riding around with Greg Quakenbush on his calls. Greg would make a point to swear and do all this stuff in front of the pastor. And eventually, Greg did the same thing as Dick did and everything, and he started becoming very committed to the church, and Greg would have been one of these 15 or 20 men. And the reason I'm sharing about Greg is he came up with the word Living Word Fellowship. The Constitution's been changed very little over the years. It's still the Constitution that we use. It's neat. God's presence was really in the forming of that, of this church. It was just neat. You could see it all the time. Now, it's difficult for some of the families because basically it ended up you're going to have two churches. So my parents stayed with the Brethren Church. And then we left and went with Living Word Fellowship, and my in-laws went with Living Word. So that was really, these things aren't easy. There were hard feelings in the community for years and years and years. First service of Living Word Fellowship was in the Sunnyside School Auditorium, and we converted it from an auditorium to a sanctuary. We did it every week. We met there for quite a while, and we started running ads in the paper. People would come from Porterville, and it's like, wow, these people are looking for a church. And it worked out. It was a lot of work, basically. The band teacher was not a believer of Sunnyside, and he made a point of going out of his way to make it difficult for us. The chairs aren't put back quite right, you know. And basically, it was a little bit of a, there was some friction, we'll just say that. So the meetings were held in people's homes, if you had a meeting. And the elders' meetings would have been in the pastor's house. And we attended, and I mean, basically the church started growing and growing. Eventually, we were able to purchase this property. It was already a church. This building wasn't here. I forget the name of the church. It had Grace in it somehow. And basically, the people of that church just joined us into Living Word Fellowship. Keith Hansen would have been one. He was at the Grace Church, and he came and ended up being leadership with us. The sanctuary was in where the high school meet now, and it became very crowded. So as an usher, you'd be at capacity and more people would be coming. So it was really hard, you know, so we started having two services, and then that kind of became crowded. So the thought of a new sanctuary played in our minds, but we didn't want to go into any debt. So it's kind of neat the way that happened. We had some money put aside, but we didn't have enough to complete the whole building here. So finally the elders said, how about if we do it in phases? So the first phase was the foundation. We had the money for that. As soon as the foundation was finished, all the money came in for the sanctuary, and it was just really neat to know that we weren't under a lot of debt. So I just wanted to share some of that with you. I've really enjoyed being an elder here, and the amount of prayer that has gone into the start of this church. It was a long time ago. I don't know how many years now, but it's funny how time goes. But it was just neat, the start of this church, and it's really neat to see it now. So thank you, and thank you for letting me serve as elder. And we need to pray for the elders. It's just kind of a neat time. So thanks.
Thank you, Dwayne, for sharing that journey of leadership and how God worked in your life, worked in the church, brought you to that, and then as God leads you to and in the places that he has you to be and serve in, that kind of thing, leads you to not participate in being an elder, but to lead in a lot of different other things that you're doing. So, you know, that's striving together, isn't it? It really is. It's about God at work and how he has us work together in different times and different kind of things. Let's go ahead and have the praise team come up, because we're going to close up the service and with a song, and then we'll get to have lunch together. But the last thought that's on the outline there, it's a shared grace. If you listen to verse 29 and 30, and I just want to make this point, and then we'll, Josh, let's do one song, okay? And then I'll close in prayer. But look what the Apostle Paul closes with. He says, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear me to be in. Interesting thing here, the word has been granted. It's a verb form of grace. I'll just put it that way. I had it all written out here how that works, but let me just keep it simple. It is. It's a verb form of grace. Granting you this is a grace. That's what he's saying. You share in the grace. We share in the grace of salvation for Christ's sake. That's what it says. It's a grace. I mean, we even share in the sufferings of Christ for Christ's sake as a grace given to us. It's all a grace. To share in the sufferings of Christ, to share in the salvation of Christ, it's a grace of God and it's been given to us. Charles Spurgeon once said, the Lord may not give gold, but he will give grace. He may not give gain, but he will give grace. He will certainly send us trial, but he will give us grace in proportion thereto. We may be called to labor and to suffer, but with the call will come all of the grace required. Heavenly Father, as a church, as a body of Christ, we bow before you now and come to you, Lord, in prayer. First, with a heart of gratitude, a heart of rejoicing. That's what celebration is to rejoice. Rejoice in the salvation that we have found through faith in Christ by your grace. We rejoice in the work that you've done in piercing our heart with the truth and how you desire to use our lives, Lord, to do that in others, Lord, to be the salt and light of the earth, the things that, Lord, just live in this life, just journeying through, trusting in you, putting our faith in you and standing firm on the truth of Christ and the truth of your word to say that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Living in a manner that represents the heaven that's ours, Lord. Your work in our life, being a testimony for Christ, we want to thank you and rejoice and celebrate that. And then how you work within a church family, your design, Lord, not ours, not man's, not humans, yours. How you gift the body of Christ, how you establish leadership, how you teach, all of the things that's in your word, Lord, we're following, and that you are having fruitful labor in our lives. Helping us to be a better husband that represents God, a better parent that represents God, a better friend, a better neighbor, all these things, Lord, to represent you and who you are in your grace. Ultimately, Lord, really to glorify you. Are we benefited? Absolutely. But it's for your glory. So thank you for the church family that we belong to, for the work you're doing here. And we pray for this year, Lord, that our commitment, our willing heart would grow even stronger as we learn today in Psalm 1, that we would meditate on your truths each day. contemplating your word, Lord, and allow you to work in our life. And we celebrate what and rejoice for what you will do. Thank you for our time together today, for the food that you provided, for the love that you've instilled in our hearts for each other and for the lost. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.